Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now we're looking at compliance of one of South Africa's largest bank with a customer base, Capitec. This is Capitec Bank. It's charged 56 million rand over FICA violations. We're joined now by Chad Thomas, IRS forensic investigator, to talk us through this. Chad, very good evening to you, and apologies for making you wait a bit there. Let's just get into the crux of the matter and explain it in layman's terms so that we can understand what exactly has happened here. What has Capitec dropped the ball on to lead to this sanction?
Good evening to you and the listeners. Thank you for inviting me to the show. And I don't mind being late at all. I really enjoyed the previous conversation. South African organizations at the moment are under intense scrutiny as a result of our grey listing by the Financial Action Task Force. We're hoping to come off that grey list later this year. Our next inspection will be during February, which if we had to pass would mean we'd come off most probably in June. However, we think that there'll be another inspection in June. We're not going to pass during February. And if we do pass in June, it means we'll come off the list in October. Mm-hmm. There's still about 8 issues that are outstanding. And one of the main issues is, of course, money laundering. So that's the main and primary reason why we're sitting on the grey list. There's been anomalies within our reporting systems with respect to the way certain entities have operated. And South Africa was identified by the Financial Action Task Force as being a country where money laundering was taking place, and perhaps that money was being used for terror funding, etc. With that enhanced scrutiny by the international community and the fact that we have been grey listed, we're seeing a whole lot of things that are happening. We've seen the legal professions being investigated. We saw a fine of 7.7 million rand in terms of FIC violations, which is the Financial Intelligence Center Act, where a law practitioner, a firm, was fined 7.7 million rand. We've seen Sasfin investigated as a result of the allegations made in the Al Jazeera Gold series, which related to the illicit economy in Zama Zama Gold leaving South Africa. And of course, we're now seeing Capitec being fined this significant amount of money. Now, in layman's terms, why they were fined comes down to a very simple thing. It's called KYC, which is the abbreviation for know your client. So you have to know your client. You have to update their details. You have to know who the beneficial ownership is of companies, of trusts, of special purpose vehicles, of entities that have bank accounts with that particular banking institution. And all of this is, of course, to prevent organized crime from laundering money through traditional banking methods. One of the important criteria of the Financial Intelligence Center Act, which we all know as FICA, is Section 29, which is a reporting obligation, not just with banks, but other organizations as well, which are accountable. And those are three very important reporting obligations. The one is known as an SAR, which is Suspicious Activity Report. The other is an STR, which is Suspicious Transaction Report. And the last is CTR, which is Cash Threshold Report. And if you're not reporting and you're not knowing who your clients are actually deriving funds from and who they're paying funds to and who actually owns those companies, well, then you're in breach of the Act. And that is one of the main reasons why Capitec was fined, because they weren't verifying clients' identity to a large extent, and they weren't identifying the beneficial owners of entities that had accounts with Capitec.
So, Chad, they received 7 cautions, and the operative word here being cautions, and 1 reprimand and a financial penalty. So when you evaluate between the financial penalty and the cautions, I just want to understand, where were they lax in, as you say, the security measures, due diligence, where it was definitively found that they did not comply, and where, even though FICA says they've been compliant, they've cooperated with the PA to undertake necessary remedial action?
So, look, the Prudential Authority is a division of the South African Reserve Bank, and they're responsible for our banking institutions in South Africa. They inspect our banking institutions and make sure that they license correctly and they regulate it correctly and that they adhere to the various legislation. Now, South Africa has an abundance of legislation, and we've got even more legislation that's come into effect, as well as amendments to existing legislation since the grey listing took place. And one of the most important changes to legislation was beneficial ownership. So what happened in the past is you could have a proxy or a nominee fronting for you in a business, and the actual ownership rested on a document, which we would call a heads of agreement, that lay in a safe at a lawyer's office. That's now changed. You now have to advise CIPC as of the end of October last year, which was the deadline, who the beneficial owners are. So you can't have proxies, you can't have nominees, you can't have somebody fronting for you, whether it's BEE, whether it's to get tenders, whether it's to get contracts, or whether it's to launder money. And what they're saying is they're not saying that Capitec was engaged in money laundering. They're not saying that Capitec have broken the law and actively assisted in transgressing the legislation. What they're saying is that they may have perhaps been lax in those various inspections that they did. And it's not going to be Capitec alone. I mentioned Sasfin, the investigation that's been taking place there in respect of money laundering, what was exposed on Al Jazeera with the Gold Mafia series. And other banks will also be looked at. But it's not just the banks. Accounting offices are being looked at. Real estate agents are being looked at. Car dealerships are being looked at. Legal firms are being looked at. And this is so very important because South Africa did go on the back foot. Otherwise, we wouldn't be grey listed. If there weren't issues in South Africa with transnational organized crime, we wouldn't be grey listed. And what the state is doing through regulatory authorities like the Prudential Authority, the Reserve Bank, SARS, etc., is they making it the responsibility of accountable organizations such as the banks to do that work for them, because you can't expect SARS and SARB, etc., to be able to identify all these red flags. One of the most important organizations we currently have is the Financial Intelligence Center, and they are an organization that is critical to help us get off the gray list. But again, they can't be expected to do everything. That's why we have this legislation in place, to ensure that all these organizations do that KYC, that know your client process, so that it's, they can now go back and say, well, these organizations are doing it, but we still have the regulatory oversight. We're going to inspect them and make sure they're doing it properly. And if we find there's problems, we're going to fine them so that they don't drop the ball, and hopefully South Africa can come off the gray list.
So I know this next question is going to be loaded, and it's the amount of time I'm giving you to answer is impossible. But if you can, what are the risk implications of what has happened? As you say, it's not just Capitec for itself and its clients, but also the broader regulatory implications, financial forensic perspective.
South Africa has come out of the shadow of state capture. State capture could not have happened without a symbiotic relationship between public sector bad actors and private sector bad actors. Open Secrets published a report a few years ago during Zondo, which was called The Enablers. And The Enablers named banks, accounting firms, etc., that had been complicit in state capture. State capture couldn't have happened between two individuals, one from government, one from the private sector, who decided to line their pockets. They had to create companies. They had to audit the books. They had to open bank accounts. Bank of Baroda was exposed during that particular study, and then later at the Zondo Commission, as being one of the banks that was involved in this money laundering. Now, when we look at the illicit economy in South Africa, when I talk about the figures of hundreds of billions of rands in the illicit economy, specifically when you look at Zama Zamas, and it's not just the gold mining industry, it's platinum, it's chrome, it's coal. There are Zama Zamas in the Northern Cape mining diamonds. That money has to somehow be cleaned. And a lot of that money, if not most of it, leaves our borders. It doesn't reach our fiscus. It doesn't support our social development programs. It doesn't support national treasury. It leaves our borders. It lands up in the United Arab Emirates. It lands up in other jurisdictions. And that is why it's so critical that our regulatory authorities do what they are doing, holding the accountable institutions to account. Because if they don't hold them to account, it becomes a free-for-all. And sadly, the reality is international organized crime syndicates have made South Africa their playground. They saw through political interference how various law enforcement bodies were neutralized. And they took advantage of that. We now have this renewed energy with the GNU. We have a minister of police who is exceptionally motivated to make change. But all of this has to also fit in with the international narrative of counter-terror funding and anti-money laundering. And sadly, we find ourselves in very bad company on the grey list. We're in the company of Russia, Iran, North Korea. We have to get ourselves off that grey list because it's not attractive to foreign investors with us sitting on that grey list.
So putting you in a corner, June, is that a real possibility, or given these developments, we should just shelve it for now?
South Africa is at an incredible crossroads. What we saw last year was the fierce independence of the Independent Electoral Commission, the fierce independence of our judiciary. So many people came out negatively and spoke about South Africa the last few years as being a failed state. We're the furthest thing from. We have problems, but we're resolving those problems. The biggest wake-up call we've received in recent years was being grey-listed by FATF. And it's created this momentum to regulate. And some people think we over-regulated because we have such an abundance of legislation. But the world is fast moving. You look at the advent of cyber crimes. Nobody knew with the internet how crime would explode. We didn't have an understanding how state capture would impact both the private and the public sector. South Africa at this point in time, with the GNU, with the ministers and the presidency motivated, has to make these changes, and unfortunately, we have to buck up. South Africans are notorious for not liking things like FICA, not being on time to renew their driver's license, having to hate standing in queues to get their identity documents. We need to change this perceptive. We need to change our attitudes and understand that there's a reason why FICA exists. It's not to make our life difficult or to make life a misery. It's to protect our country so that we can attract foreign investments and we can deliver on all those social problems that we've promised we are going to look at.
Chad, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Chad Thomas, IRS forensic investigator, taking us through what has happened with Capitec Bank. It's been charged 56 million rand over FICA violations.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.